Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to William Richardson, pastor of the Covert, Hartford, and Pullman Seventh-day Adventist churches. And now, here's Pastor William.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for allowing us to come together one more time to study and to testify. And Lord, we just pray that you would give us the blessing that you want us to have, that we'll be prepared for your soon coming. And that we'll spread this message around the world and to our families and neighbors and friends, that this gospel may be finished in this generation. Raise up more laborers to finish the work, and we thank you for doing it. For this is your will, Father, and we thank you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. That children's story about the locusts. If anybody has ever had a garden, you know the importance of trying to keep the insects off. It's a job. But God will make our greatest trial our greatest blessing. Can anybody attest to that? Has your greatest trial been your greatest blessing? Amen. Because you learn of God. God may not answer the prayer the way you expect it, but he will do something for you exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. I understand about having insects in the garden. Well, God is good. And the greatest event that soon will come is the second coming of Christ. This is the event that the prophets have pointed to. Charles mentioned about, was there somebody in the Bible that ate locusts? Well, you know, God gave permission in the Bible for locusts, and we're told that John the Baptist ate locusts and what, honey? Some say it was carob, but God did give permission for locusts. I don't know why, but you know, locusts are permitted. But we're going to look at Matthew 24. It says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. The end of what? The end of the reign of sin. It's coming to an end. It's not going to last forever. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming. It's coming in the morning, that everlasting morning. When Jesus comes, there'll be no more night. It's going to be day in the presence of Jesus. And we're going to be lifted up. Those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus will live with Jesus forever and ever and ever. And this is the gospel message that God wants us to preach. He's given us in the book of Revelation the final message that will prepare the world, just like John the Baptist prepared the then world for the first coming of Jesus, God has given to us, to this church, to God's people, a final message just to prepare the world for the coming of Jesus. And we find that in Revelation 14. Then I saw another angel. Let's read it together. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. This gospel message is to go to all the world. The message that Jesus died on the cross to forgive us for our sins, fully forgive us, because all have sinned and come short. We're born sinners. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God, now we're born into the world, every one of us, with a tendency to do the wrong thing. But the good news is, the death of Jesus on the cross fully pays the penalty for all sin. And not only does he pay the penalty for sin, but the shackles of sin will be broken. Jesus will live his life in us. And that's the gospel. That's the gospel message. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So first of all, Christ died. The wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So Jesus came and he died to lift us up from the pit of sin. What did Jesus do when he was here on the earth? When he came across somebody who was under the burden of sin, he would forgive them and he would set them free. Not only did he set them free, but their physical infirmities, he healed. God has a healing message that he's given to our church. And it's to help prepare people for the coming of Christ. Because when you're sick, do you feel like, you know, when you're physically sick, you don't feel good mentally and spiritually. You don't feel good. But God has power to heal our diseases. Many people have been healed of cancer. People have been healed of all type of diseases. Leprosy, an incurable disease. Jesus would touch the person who had leprosy and they would be healed. He hasn't lost any of his healing power. God can heal. My son was sick the other day. He said, I think I'm coming down with COVID again. And now he's been out of work for about a month. And he's worked this past week. And now he's coming down with COVID. Well, we prayed for him. And my wife ordered some things from the store to be sent to his home. Thank God that now we can order whatever we need and don't even have to leave the home. We can get it at home. And so the next day, we're thinking he's going to be in bed, but he's up and at work. He's feeling better. He's doing good. So God has a healing message for us. And this message is to draw people to God. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our faith depends upon believing what Christ did for us and not what we can do for ourselves. This idea of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, well, we want to do the best that we can, but it's only what Jesus did that can forgive us for our sins and save us. John 3:16, we all know that verse, don't we? For God so loved, can we say it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. To live 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000 times 1,000,000,000 times 1,000,000,000. Unending. That's what God is offering us. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain, nor death. Christ lived what? A perfect life. He healed the sick. He gave a demonstration of his power. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of sin. Now, the Ten Commandments. Christ's perfect life record is put in place of the sinful record of all who accept him. Ten Commandments. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We've all broken that law. We're born sinners. But Christ perfectly obeyed all of the Ten Commandments. He didn't lie. What he said was truth. He didn't kill. He didn't commit adultery. He didn't steal. He honored his parents. He didn't take God's name in vain. He kept the Sabbath holy. He didn't covet. He kept all those Ten Commandments perfectly for me and you. Now, we've all broken them. And if you break one, you've broken them all. You've broken all. You're in sin. What sin did Adam and Eve break? What did they do? What was their sin? They took something that they weren't supposed to take. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as a result, you see the thousands of people dying over there in Turkey, Syria, because of an earthquake. Sin is a terrible thing. How can just taking something that doesn't belong to you result in this world being in chaos? That's the seriousness of sin. Only way we can understand what sin is look at Christ. Now you see Christ dying on the cross. This is what my sin has done to Christ. It's caused him indescribable agony. You can see what your sin has done to Christ. But that's my death. That's the payment for me to be forgiven. That's your death. We can look at our death on the cross and see what God is suffering for us, what he has suffered and what he's still suffering. This reveals the heart of God and what sin does to his heart. You don't want to see your children suffer. Well, God had to watch his son suffer and die on the cross because he loves us so much. But the good news is he didn't stay in the grave. He came up out that grave. He rested on the Sabbath day. He was crucified on Friday, rested on the Sabbath, and then he rose up just like he said he would. He said, I'm going to rise on the third day. But they couldn't understand it. They didn't understand the prophecies because of so much false teaching. And there's so much false teaching today in the world, isn't it? And that's why people don't understand the importance of obeying God. God is a savior. We know we can go to Christ no matter what the problem. We can take our problem to Christ, and he knows everything. He has all power. He can deal with the situation. If it's insects, if it's financial, if it's sin, he can deal with it because he came and died and paid the price. He came up out the grave, and now where is he? Christ ascended to the Father. See, when we pray, we're praying to God the Father in Jesus' name, and they're there hearing and answer our prayers. It's amazing. Just go over your mind and think about the problems that you had and how God solved your problems. He loves you. We're his children. Now, we can go to each other or we can think about politics, but what happens to all of the great leaders in the world throughout history? Where are they? Where is Nebuchadnezzar, who said, is not this the mighty Babylon that I have built? Where is he? He's in the grave. Where is Alexander the Great, who conquered? He was a world ruler. In the grave. Where is Caesar? He's dead and in the grave. Napoleon in the grave. Hitler, Stalin, they're all dead and in the grave. But Jesus, he's alive. He's not in the grave. He's still alive. He hears our prayers. He knows everything about us. We're his children. He knows our name. He ascended to the Father 2,000 years ago and is right now before the throne of God. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's the promise that God has made for us. Now, if Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he's more than human. He's divine. If Christ were resurrected from the dead, he has power over the grave. If Jesus is really divine, his offer of eternal life is real. Resurrection power can transform us. But how can we have peace? Deep down within each person's heart is a need for love, peace, and forgiveness. And the gospel, the everlasting gospel, is the answer. Now, how far does this gospel go before Jesus comes back? It's got to go to all the world. If you look at a map, you look at a map of the world, it's a large world, but the gospel has got to go to everyone because Jesus wants everyone to be saved. And so he's given us this three angels message in the book of Revelation. This message says, fear God and give glory to him. Why? For the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water. This is why we're here today. Because God created the world in 6 days. And then on the seventh day, he rested. He set it apart for us to come together and worship. What does it mean to fear God? To fear God means to respect, reverence, and obey him. The new birth experience is when Jesus takes his law, the character of Christ, and puts it in our heart. Now, Ecclesiastes 12:13, let's read this together. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. When we say man, we're talking about men, women, and children, boys and girls. Now, who said this in Ecclesiastes? Who was the author of this? Who wrote this? King Solomon. Now, who was King Solomon? He was chosen by God to be king after David. And Solomon, he started out his ministry on doing the right thing. In the Bible, 1 Kings. As we look in 1 Kings, chapter 3, verse 5. Talking about the second coming of Christ. Talking about life and getting prepared for the time when Jesus comes with all of his angels. Solomon said the conclusion of the whole matter is to keep his commandments and fear God. That's the revelation. Fear the patience of the saints. They keep the commandments of God and they have faith in Jesus. They believe the word of God. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. It says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked, what I shall give thee? Now, David, King David, he was a man after God's own heart. But he made mistakes, didn't he? Like we all have made mistakes. And he repented. He had killed a man, took the man's wife. They had a baby. The first baby died, but the second baby was Solomon. King Solomon was one of the children of David and Bathsheba that became king. So that, to me, that says he was fully forgiven for murder and adultery. And then so now God allows his son to become the king, the next king. And so in Gibeon, the Lord came to Solomon in a dream and said, ask what I shall give thee. In verse 6, Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart. But we know David was a man after God's own heart because he repented. We have the chance to repent. Verse 9. Give therefore, Solomon is asked, talking to God, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? That's what he asked God as he was starting on his kingship. You know, we're going to sit on the throne with God one day also. We're promised that in the book of Revelation. What should we be asking God now? The same thing that Solomon asked for wisdom. For verse 10 says, and the speech pleased God, pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. You know, we can ask for wisdom. God says in his word, believers in James, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all. If you don't know how to deal with your problems that you're dealing with, you ask God and he will give you wisdom. Health problem, problem with the children, finance problem. It doesn't matter. Moral problem. God will give you wisdom. He'll give you strength. Solomon asked for strength. It pleased God. And not only did he give him wisdom, but we're told that God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we need to commune with the Father in heaven. A lot of times we tell each other our problems and we can come together and pray and discuss and get wisdom, but going to God is the solution to all problems. So God told Solomon, I've given thee a wise and understanding heart so that there was none like unto thee. before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. None like Solomon. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be among the kings like unto thee all thy days. So Solomon was all wise. 1 Kings chapter 10. Let's look over there. See what Solomon did in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23, it says, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and with nobody as wealthy as King Solomon. Nobody as wise as King Solomon. Verse 24 says, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God has put in his heart. So he starts out as a young man, just like when we start out joining the church. We come to God just as we are. We accept his plan of salvation, ask for forgiveness. And then God puts in us his Ten Commandments. He puts it in our hearts as far as we understand it. It's a growing process. But did Solomon continue walking with God is the question. Did he? Well, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 3. It says, verse 3 of 1 Kings chapter 11 says, he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. How many is that? 700 and 300 is what? 1,000 women. Did that please God? Go up to verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites. Those were God's people, their enemy, the Moabites and the Ammonites, Edomites, Zizonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go unto them, neither shall they come unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after the gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. You know, in these last days, we must understand this is the devil is still working in that way. What God gave to Solomon, wisdom and riches, the devil uses riches and adultery to attack the church. So when you hear all these different things of people falling, you know, it's a war going on, just like over in Russia and Ukraine. You got people shooting in a different implements of war. Well, Satan is using this to attack us, God's people. So we're told, we're counseled, we should make our weak points our strong points. Whatever your weak point, and all of us have weak points, make that your strong point. How do you do that? Spend time communicating with God. So Solomon messed up. If you look at chapter 11, verse 12, God told Solomon he was going to take the kingdom from him because of his sin. You know, Ezekiel, if you go in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about if a righteous man turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, because of his iniquity he shall die. But if he turns from his iniquity, he turns to righteousness, he'll live. God does not want to destroy anybody, but the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Let's look over in Ezekiel. We want to see what God has to say. Ezekiel chapter 18, and we're going to start at verse 20. It says, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. And it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall what? It die. It doesn't say the soul gonna live forever. It doesn't say the soul is gonna burn in the lake of fire forever. It says it's gonna die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Now, God is offering us eternal life. And so the opposite of eternal life is eternal death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. In the judgment, we saw the Ten Commandments. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if, now this is the gospel, if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall what? He shall live. That's the gospel. But the only way we can turn is by coming to God and asking God to forgive us and live in us. You can't do it. Education is a good thing, but it won't do it. Having money is a good thing, but it can't keep you from sin. Coming to Jesus is the only thing that's going to keep us. It says in verse 21, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him in his righteousness that he hath done. Let's go over to chapter 33. Chapter 33. Of Ezekiel, same book, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 12. We're talking about being prepared for the second coming of Christ. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it. Again, I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. If he turn from his sin, and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, and walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. I think of Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. He was cheating the people. But he heard about Jesus, and he started to return that which he had robbed. And when Jesus was passing by, he was so short he couldn't see over the crowd. So he climbs up in a tree, and Jesus stops and looks up at this thief who has repented and says, Zacchaeus, come down, for this day I must go to your house. So Zacchaeus climbed down out the tree, and he walked like he was just so happy because Jesus saw his need. He saw his heart, and he sees our heart and our need. He knows we're born as sinners. All he wants us to do is repent, and repentance is a gift. We can't work it up. As we look at Jesus dying on the cross, we see the love of God. And it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. So Solomon starts out right, just like we have started out as Christians, walking with God, communicating with God. But the devil got in there and turned his heart to where he started worshiping idols. He made a terrible mistake. God said, I'm going to take the kingdom from you, but not during your time. Your son is going to be taken away from. Not all of it. I'm going to leave one tribe. So God talked to Solomon again as he was living in sin. And he was an old man at that time. He wasn't young when his wives turned his mind away from God. But he repented. He looked at his life from the start to the finish. Solomon to me, when God was working on my heart, I was deep in sin, but somebody had given me a Bible. I started reading the Bible. And when I started reading about Ecclesiastes, I read how Solomon had tried everything he was big enough to do and rich enough to do. Women, wine, foolishness, animals, choirs, music. He did it all. And then he said he hated life. But then he said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's hear the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this will bring happiness. This will bring joy. This will bring everlasting life. This will bring you up out the grave when Jesus comes. If the Ten Commandment law, the character of Christ is in your heart, when Jesus comes back, he's going to resurrect you up out the grave and give you a brand new body, give us a brand new body. And we're going to live with Christ forever. We're going to sit on thrones. This earth is going to become the headquarters of the universe. It's going to happen because the word of God is true. We can depend on what the Bible says. Jesus is going to come back. He that believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is going to come. This gospel is being preached now all over the world. Strong Tower Radio, the Bible, different 3ABN, other programs, the tracts that you pass out, the books that you give. Be faithful. Jesus is coming again. How many want to be ready when Jesus comes? I want to be ready. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to be ready when you come. Put your law into our hearts. You gave Solomon repentance. You gave him riches and wealth, and he did everything he was big enough to do. He made many mistakes. He worshiped idols. We've made many mistakes, Father, all of us. Forgive us of our sins, and Lord, fill us with the Spirit of Christ so that when you return, we will be ready to meet you in peace and with our families, without the loss of one. We thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to William Richardson, pastor of the Covert, Hartford, and Pullman Seventh-day Adventist churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You'll find the Hartford Church at 57825 Pinery Road in Hartford, Michigan, and their service begins at 10:50 a.m. Or visit the Pullman Church at 655 52nd Street in Pullman, Michigan, and their service begins at 11 a.m. Or visit the Covert Church at 330 81 M140 Highway in Covert, Michigan, and their service begins at 3:30 p.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.